The following is the audio version of a video released at peakprosperity.com. Visit peakprosperity.com to watch the video and to find other insightful content such as articles, discussion forums, and exclusive subscriber-only content.
The United States has been pursuing the bold but very risky strategy of selling off its oil to the rest of the world to help keep prices down. The jig is almost up. Hello, everyone. I am Dr. Chris Martinson, founder of peakprosperity.com and the creator of The Crash Course. It's both a viral video series as well as a best-selling book that connects energy, the economy, and the environment. I'm an information scout. I separate fact from fiction, and I bring you actionable information that you can't afford to live without. Now, let's get to today's presentation. The United States has been eating its seed corn. The old saying, it's like spending the principal balance of your bank account when you're trying to live off of the interest on your savings. Not a wise thing to do. The International Energy Agency, the IEA, today said global oil stocks are depleting at a record pace, which, of course, they have been. And supply losses, obviously, disruptions due to the disruption flows from the Strait of Hormuz, keep mounting. Producers and consumers are responding to the market signals, but prices have been too low to really have a demand destruction yet, with, quote, Atlantic crude oil exports surging. That is a euphemism for the United States selling its seed corn and producing it out there. We just got in our most recent estimates, or not estimates, but the EIA's additions for how much oil the United States consumed last week. And the numbers are in now as of this morning on the 13th of May. And they say here crude oil inventories were down 4.3 million barrels. They were only forecast to drop by 2.45 million barrels. That's a big miss, nearly 2 million barrels more. But that's just commercial inventories. We also have a strategic petroleum reserve, the SPR. When we include those, last week combined, we were down 12.9 million barrels. Out the door, sold to the highest bidder. Off they went somewhere else in the world. I'll show you where. Gasoline inventories down another whopping 4.8 million barrels. We're starting to get really low on that. Good news, distillate inventories in green, because it's good news, actually went up a tiny bit instead of going down by a forecast a lot. This is diesel and jet fuel. And as well, crude Cushing inventories. Cushing, Oklahoma is a big place where a lot of oil is gathered in a huge tank farm. And it was actually down another 1.7 million barrels, and it was only forecast to be just a little bit negative. Anyway, let's look at this so we can make sense of it. This is gasoline inventories. You can see here this bluish range. This is called the five-year range. So we are now lower than at any point we've ever been in the last 5 years, just before the critical summer driving season starts. And look at that plummeting decline. As well, we might notice over here, distillate, even though it ticked up a tiny bit, which I said is good news, really glad it did, because we are already below the five-year range. This is tight inventories. This is when prices begin to rise because you don't have that much left to sell. As well, we might notice that the Cushing crude oil inventories, hey, headed down slightly modestly. Maybe it doesn't look like that much, but I will point out that its operational working threshold is 20 million barrels. That's what this thick black line is. You can see how every time we've gotten close to this, it's gone back up again because we can't go below that number. So we really only have, looks to me like about 5 million barrels to continue to draw from Cushing. We drew down 1.7 million barrels just last week. So 3-4 weeks on that at that rate, and it's all over. And as well, we're seeing total commercial oil and product stock just trending down. Not dangerous. We're kind of in the middle of the five-year average. Surprisingly, not that bad at this point in time. So who is buying the United States' crude oil? Well, Bloomberg just reported here today, Tracy Shuchart, the @SheGirl, here talking about this. Bloomberg article just came out. It says Asian refiners from South Korea and Japan made further purchases of the U.S. crude for arrival in August. Okay, takes time. You load it now, get it in August, because these ships are big and slow. So South Korea bought 2 million barrels of West Texas Intermediate, WTI, at prices equivalent to a premium of $17 a barrel to the Dubai benchmark. Whoa, that's already higher, so a premium to that. And SK Energy bought 2 million barrels. Japan's Ineos bought 2 million barrels And earlier this week, Hyundai Oil Bank bought 1 million barrels, 2221. That's 7 million barrels of oil sold, mostly out of our inventories. And so because of that, we're going to see much higher prices going forward. Now, this is interesting, a really interesting chart just posted this morning at my site by a subscriber to Peak Prosperity. And this is really interesting. Looks like it comes from stanford.edu. Great way to look at this. I hadn't seen this chart before. Proved reserves. This is 300 billion barrels for Venezuela compared to how much production. So, and production's in a different scale. So this is thousands of barrels daily. So 20,000 is 20 million barrels a day. But what you would want to see is that if you have huge reserves, that your production would be, you know, safely, the lower your red line is below your black line, the longer you're going to be able to pump. The United States has been standing out as having relatively small reserves. Now, these are in 1,000 million barrels. So again, this is 50 billion barrels. Sounds like a lot. But the United States is ripping it out of the ground as fast as it possibly can. That's what we're doing with our energy resources. In 50 to 100 years, children, grandchildren, as yet unconceived, unborn, are going to look back and say, you did what with that stuff? Because this is, if you have energy, you have everything. If you have energy, you can have an economy. Why is the United States so hastily ripping its oil out of the ground and gas out of the ground as fast as it can? So fast that sometimes we don't know what to do with it besides burn it right on the spot. This is a satellite picture taken at night. Obviously, Minneapolis is a big city with a lot of sodium halide lights. But this light you see here, those are gas wells, oil wells that are burning off excess gas. Why? Because we were taking it out of the ground too fast. We just didn't have time to build pipelines or takeaway capacity or anything like that. So we just burn it. And future generations are going to go, you did what with it? It's really astonishing. All right, carrying on. The Energy Information Agency just put out their short-term energy outlook for May of 2026. Just came out recently. And here they're adding up the estimated unplanned liquid fuels outages among both OPEC and non-OPEC. So let's look at this carefully together. First, Iraq is at the bottom of this here. There are big outages there, probably close to 3.5 million barrels a day. Then Kuwait is next, tossing in another 1 to 2 million barrels per day. Then Iran is actually having outages as well. Saudi Arabia, a big old part of that green bar right there. And then moving to non-OPEC, Russia, of course, experiencing some outages, which we've talked about because somebody is bombing Russian energy facilities. But don't forget, there's a big old nearly 4 million barrel per day slap on top of that other non-OPEC. That's mainly the UAE because they've pulled out of OPEC, and the EIA has very cleverly moved them into the non-OPEC category. It took me a minute to figure that out because normally you would see the UAE down there under OPEC. But when you look at all of this, surprisingly, this is a little over 15 million barrels a day, closing in on 16 million barrels per day. And notice that April is higher than March, because this is January, that's February, this is March, and this is April. April is higher than March. So can't wait to see what May is, but this is a much higher sustained outage number than we've been reading elsewhere of 10, 11, maybe 12 million barrels per day. That's kind of interesting. Now, the EIA also, that's the U.S. agency, has put out a little bit of a forecast. They say the situation remains dire by the end of the year because even through the end of fourth quarter 2026, they're saying we still have 1.7 million barrels a day that's missing. I think that's optimistic. I think we're going to be missing a lot more than that. So the forecasted shut-ins here were 10.75 million barrels here in May. And in June, they're estimating it's going to drop to 8.8 and then 6.4 and then finally 1.7. These are enormous numbers, people. These are gigantic. Normally, if you're a million barrels per day undersupplied world market, the world market freaks out. Now, it hasn't been because the United States has been heavily shorting oil futures, I'm convinced, and also been doing everything it can to manipulate the markets and then also physically dump oil, our oil, and sell it to the world at what I consider to be below market prices, just to keep things looking better than they actually are at this point in time. This is bad. This is a devastating world economic situation right now. Full stop. Everybody needs to be preparing for this. This is terrifying. But most people aren't aware of this at this point in time. Okay. And that's because most people are just either not paying attention or paying attention to the wrong sources of news to figure out what's going on in the world. But this is going to be a very dire situation for the rest of this year. Full stop. And that's if and only if the war ends soon and the Strait reopens very, very soon. Negotiations aren't going well. We'll see what happens if Trump runs out of patience. We'll take it from there. Now, I want to talk you through what we call the twin peaks of oil destruction. There's a complicated chart. We'll go through it together. There's two things on here. First is there's a supply destruction regime. So if you had price of oil, say, down here at 40, which I'm circling with the blue arrow, at 40, we would get almost no more new supply, right? It's not worth drilling if oil's at $40 a barrel. It just isn't. We're not going to get new supply. And we're probably not even going to get reworked wells and all kinds of other things. So the sweet spot for oil has been here between, say, 76 and 88. Higher than that, you're going to get a lot more supply, right? But basically, here, anything below this peak is kind of where you're looking at supply destruction down here. Here, you're kind of looking at more supply. So let's call that, just to make numbers simple, 80 bucks. But when you go out a little further, here's the second hump in this story, and this is the demand destruction regime, where you're going to start experiencing significant demand destruction. It begins at maybe 140, and by 150, you're getting a lot of demand destruction, and it's, you know, pretty well, like, you're going to get a lot of demand destruction by the time you get out to, say, $180 a barrel. Those twin peaks have been moving closer and closer and closer together. The supply destruction because of two reasons. The reservoirs that we're going after are smaller, deeper, more dilute, more difficult. All those D's. Inflation. It's cost more to get the steel and all the labor and everything to just drill the hole. So it costs more and more and more. So this supply hump here, that's been moving over to the right. It's getting more and more expensive because of those four D's, right? And then the demand destruction regime, that's actually kind of sneaking over the other direction. It's sneaking towards the left to the blue hump. Why? Because as we get further and further and further into debt, the markets are less and less able to absorb higher oil prices. Okay. And we'll see that immediately in the United States. Auto loans, you know, 80 months auto loans, like giant things, even 100 month auto loans. The car's dead way before then, right? And higher costs for those auto loans, to the point that the person who's sort of the marginal buyer is going to be squeezed by four, then five, then $6 gas, won't be able to afford the car. So that's the demand destruction side. As we get more and more debt, we can afford less and less of a higher price of oil. So those two peaks are coming together. When they meet, it's kind of game over. Now, you would think, well, we're going to get a lot of supply now because prices for oil are so much higher. Surprise! It turns out that drilling worldwide is now lower in April than in March. So here we're comparing April to March. You can see gas rigs worldwide are down 9. Oil rigs are down 13 for a loss of 22 drilling rigs. And if you can't, you got to drill it before you produce it, obviously. So April has fewer drilling rigs than March. Weird. North America has 54 total fewer rigs. And even if we compare this to a year ago, we see that worldwide, there's 5% fewer rigs out there compared to a year ago. And here we can see it's down 6% North America, 5% overall. You look at the regions, you see Africa monthly change is minus 12. Asia Pacific's up 15. Hey, that's a plus. That's why you get a green arrow. Europe is minus 6, going down. Latin America only up 1. So a green arrow, but only 1 rig. So that's kind of a marginal green. We should maybe make that a yellow. Middle East down 20. That makes sense. Like, who's going to be drilling there right now? And North America, again, clobbered, minus 54. And North America, by the way, includes Mexico, Canada. So just to be clear about that. So what we're seeing is not what you would expect. What we're not seeing is a giant increase in oil drill rigs in April. So we'll have to watch for March and see what happens. But if you can't drill it, if you're not drilling it, you're not going to get more out of the ground. And that's just how it is. So look, when it comes down to it, I will always tell you exactly what I think. And if I'm wrong, I'll correct it immediately or as soon as I can. No spin, no sugarcoating, but you already feel it, right? You know, something really is very much not right now. Something's wrong. Markets, money, politics, food, energy. Look, the list is long. It's getting longer every day. In my premium service, I give you the unfiltered data, the hidden context, and the clear analysis you both need and deserve to protect your family and your wealth. Not opinions, facts like these I just went through, facts you can act on, delivered early so you can move from paralysis to decisive action. Yes, my service costs more than most. It's about $1,000 a year, and that's because I've been decades ahead on the biggest stories, and I've spent my whole career distilling complex risks into the exact information you need, no more, no less, to take decisive actions. So if you subscribe right now, you'll instantly unlock every premium report and video. You'll join a private community of thousands of sharp, like-minded people, just like yourself, and get immediate access to my critical alert service the moment something important breaks. So don't wait. The window to get ahead is closing, my friends. And remember, it didn't have to be this way. Plant a garden. Until next time, I'm Chris Martinson of Peak Prosperity.